All right, let's start having some fun. So winter, even though winter's not officially upon us, it's kind of upon us. You know, it just feels like it. It was a crazy week. November was so mild, and all of a sudden it got windy and rainy and drizzly, and we're probably going to have some snow. So I thought I'd have some memes related to I know some kids, you know, like to have snow days because they get to stay home. Arizonans can't handle the snow very well. I mean, we see a little bit, people start crashing and, you know, having issues. So they developed this special buses now with special tires. Anyway. But there's benefits here in Arizona for having a winter. On a positive note, we haven't seen any mosquitoes in weeks. Come on. Yes. We don't like mosquitoes. You know, I've lived in Mexico. I know what it's like, you know. You know, we like to watch HGTV, and they always say, you know, Caribbean Live, Hawaiian Live, you know, Mexico Live. And in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, I know it looks really good, you know, but there's mosquitoes all over the place. So I watch it on TV, that way the mosquitoes are behind the glass, you know. And this is for you, Ryan. Meanwhile, in Canada. All right. It's just. Oh, Canada. So anyway, so today we're starting a new series. It's called Put Christ in Christmas. Put Christ in Christmas. It's going to be our theme for the month. Amen. We're going to have on the 15th, you know, we're going to have the special play called The Gift. And it's all about putting Christ in Christmas. But over by the way, today's message, the title of it is Starry-Eyed. If you can go back to that, Starry-Eyed. And so you're going to, you know, you're probably starting to figure out what it talks about, right? You know, following the star there. But let me just say this. Over the next few weeks, we're going to emphasize the fact that Christ is the reason for the season. Amen. We're not going to back off or water down to appease an increasingly secular society. You know, the very reasons people from all faiths love Christmas is because it symbolizes hope, peace, love, unity, goodwill, and wonder. But guess what? They cannot have ever happened without Jesus. Come on. Christmas reminds us of new beginnings, of second chances, of humble starts, of hope against all hope. And only Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection brought all this to humanity. Come on, you're in a good place. People in the world think that they can have these things, but they don't know that hope is a person, that peace is a person, that love is a person, and that hope, mercy, and grace are defined by one person. And what is his name? Jesus. You cannot take Jesus out of it and change the world. Come on, you cannot make a difference. You can't sterilize it. It just cannot happen. So I'm here to tell you, nay, remind you that we're going to insist on putting Christ in Christmas this year. Come on. Hallelujah. It can't just be about the commercialization. Can I say that? The marketing. It's easier to say that word than the other one. You know, let's not make it about that. So at your home, you know, make the point, you know, settle it in your heart that you're going to put Christ in your Christmas and that it's going to make a huge difference. Amen? So what are we going to do this month? Just real quick. I know it seems like I'm already done with announcements, but I'm so proud. You guys know we have a Shiloh Christian Ministries Fine Arts team, and they're known as Alive. If you're part of Alive, would you raise your hand? We have some children that are getting involved. They're going to put together an amazing play on the 15th. So all of us get to enjoy this amazing potluck, right? We're going to have some worship. We're going to have a potluck. But we're also going to have this great play called The Gift, where we're putting Christ in Christmas. But what is your job? Your job is to take these amazing flyers right here that we created and to give them to your friends. Because we wanted to be here on the 15th, on the 24th, on the 22nd too, but on the 24th and then on the 31st. When we have Watoto here, it's going to be amazing. On the 31st, by the way, we're going to have multiple churches join us to receive the new year. We're going to have Lifehouse Church. You know, Pastor Jorge and Chris, and Pastor Jorge and Christia. And then we're going to have First Church of God in Christ. Pastor Clea McCall and First Lady Ramona McCall, they're going to be joining us with their church. So I think the way it's going to look like, we're going to have our concert. We're going to have a great time with them. We're going to go, you know, they're going to have tables where you can see all the merchandise from Watoto. People are going to rejoice. And then when all of the people leave, we're all going to go into the suite and we're going to have a great time together, you know, and so we're going to have a meal and we're going to receive the new year. Whether we make it to midnight, I don't know. I don't think many of us can make it to midnight. I'm not good at staying up late, but we're going to try. So maybe we'll turn on NBC and watch, you know, the ball drop in New York, which is like 2 hours ahead anyway. So by 10 o'clock, it's already midnight somewhere. And we'll receive the new year. All right. So you need to be praying for someone to grab these beautiful invitations. You know, sometimes the world is a little more attracted to the Jesus on the manger than the Jesus on the cross. So let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of it. Okay? There's room in the inn for someone this December, isn't there? So this morning, I don't just want to rave about how much I love Christmas, but I want to encourage you to be starry-eyed. Starry-eyed. To keep your eyes on the glimmering hope that leads us to Jesus. So our base scripture for today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James, and I'm going to begin. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So let me just pause there. Just like the kings from the east, you know, we need to follow the words and the prophecies. They're guiding us towards Jesus and towards heaven. We must stay on the course, not being distracted by anything or anyone. Amen. They saw this star and they followed it. And incidentally, Numbers 24:17, I don't have the scripture. It says, a star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Amen. Jesus is the star, ultimately, isn't he? And look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, like it says in Malachi, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then, verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. I'll also pause here. So Malachi prophesied his words. And let me tell you something. Satan knew of these words and other prophecies about the Messiah. And how many understand that as soon as the devil got a whiff that the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come into the scene, he released the spirit of Antichrist to oppose everything Jesus stands for. And I'm telling you, this spirit is a murderous spirit. It is a deceiving spirit. And I want to tell you that spirit is here today. Yeah. It is rampant in our culture. And it affects Christmas, doesn't it? They want us to have a Christmas without Christ. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, just call it, you know, you can still call it Christmas, but don't make anything about Jesus and salvation and religiousness. Let's make it about all these other things, you know. Let's make it about Santa and the reindeer and the snowman and, you know, and gifts and going to the stores in eggnog or whatever it is that you do, mistletoes and, you know, in Hallmark movies. Yeah, yeah. You know. See, none of those things are bad in and of themselves, right? But they cannot take Christ out of Christmas. Amen. So let's remove Christ from the Christmas and put an X, right? Xmas, they write it sometimes, right? So sometimes we worship the creation rather than the creator, as the scripture tells us. But you and I must remain starry-eyed, focusing on him. There is one true star, and the star is Jesus. He is better than any celebrity star. And come on, Hollywood Boulevard is not worthy of this star. Do you guys understand that? They will never bear that name on Jesus. They don't like him in Hollywood. You know that. None of these things. So like I said, none of these things are evil in themselves, but we cannot allow them to take our gaze from Jesus this Christmas season. Okay? Let's look at verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young, or where the young child was. And we know that when John the Revelator, you know, heard the message in Revelation 19:10, you know, it says that he was so in awe that John bowed down to the messenger. And he's like, no, wait, hold on. I'm just a servant just like you are. Don't bow down to me. You know, and so he says, I'm your fellow servant. Worship God. Then he said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Come on, let's discern the message we're consuming and see if it is causing us to worship Jesus, or are we bending our knee to something else? We got to be careful this season. Amen? Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So let me ask you, have you bowed down your knee before the king? You know, did you guys know the word worship in the Old Testament, the purest form of it is bowing down. So people, you know, we've talked about praise and worship. Some people don't think that they have to use their body to worship. In the scriptures, you cannot have worship without using your body. There's going to be fruit of the lips. There's going to be bowing down, clapping, shouting, dancing, exuberance. You don't have to do it like Pastor, who's, you know, the pogo stick. You don't have to do that. You know, but you should use your body. And I'm telling you, your spirit is connected to your body. When you bow down, you know, your spirit and your body are showing a position of humility. Say, God, you're higher than I. You put him on the throne and you put yourself in your proper place. Come on, let's worship him. Because when you worship him, when you surrender, you know, you're a better gift than frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Your heart is better than any gift that you can bring him, that you can buy at the store. Because he came to save that which was lost. You are his gift. You are his gift. In verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So if you listen, the Holy Spirit will keep you on the right path and give you the spirit of discernment to steer you away from a counterfeit Christmas. Everybody say counterfeit. Counterfeit. We don't want counterfeit. So like these kings, God has a specific path for you to follow. You know, and that is the light of Jesus. But you know what? There will be distractions along the way. There will be difficulties. There will be counterfeits along the way. But his lie will keep you on the right, you know, path. Psalm 121 says, you know, it says that he will not allow you to stumble. He who watches over you will not slumber. Amen. So stay on his word. Stay on the prophetic things that he has said about you, about our church, about where we're going. Psalm 110:105 says, your word is a lamp, you know, to guide my feet and a light for my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Come on. That's what that light was to the wise men from the east. So I want to give you, for the rest of this message, three keys to put Christ in Christmas. And the first two sound like commandments, thou shalt not, because it's a don't do something. But it's okay, you know. I'm not going to give you 10. I'm just going to give you 2, and then I'll give you a third thing, okay? So point number one, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. I know it's easy to just get distracted with all the hoopla of Christmas and to lose our sight on Jesus. And sometimes relationships, you know, are just stressful, aren't they? Oh, so-and-so is coming over, you know. They've known you since you were a child and, you know, all the shenanigans. And so, you know, familiarity breeds contempt sometimes, you know. So it's hard to deal with the relatives and with the people that are close to us. So don't let it distract you from Jesus. Amen. Don't let it distract you. So just like the wise men left their lamp to follow the star and to find the child on the manger, you know, you have to disregard all the distractions. And let me tell you the story about my friend Juan Pablo. So I worked with this guy in Mexico, a very interesting guy. He was a storyteller. I remember he would just mesmerize me when he would tell stories. He would tell about how the wind was hitting the tie and it was flapping. And I mean, I could just picture everything he was saying. He was a storyteller. But he was very one-track minded. And so after work, his job was to pick up their son and take him home, right? And so, but that's what he could do. And then the wife said, okay, before you come home next time, I want you to pick up some tortillas. It's very important in Mexican culture. This is in Agua Prieta, okay? Pick up some tortillas on the way home. You know, you got to have tortillas. And there's my food reference, by the way, in case you were wondering. and so he was like, and she was just on him. Don't forget tortillas. Day after day, he kept forgetting to pick up tortillas, you know. And so he's like, okay, don't forget the tortillas. Don't forget the tortillas. I'm not going to forget the tortillas. I'm not going to forget the tortillas. And, you know, and so finally, you know, he picks up the tortillas and he's so proud. He walks in home. Look, honey, here's the tortillas. Where's our son? So, sometimes we get distracted, you know, especially one-track minded. That's what God gave wives to men, you know, so they keep us on track, you know, text messages. Look at what Philippians 3:13 and 14 say. This is from the New Living Translation. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Not the tortillas, you know. This is what I'm focusing on. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let's enjoy the season. Let's have fun. Let's watch football. Is that all right, Pastor, for me to say? Even if Dallas and Steelers are struggling, you know, it's all right, Pastor. You know, we can still enjoy it. Allow us to focus in the new year when we start doing prayer and fasting. You know, there's not going to be a Super Bowl in our with our teams. But anyway, we got to press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, let's enjoy all these things that God has given us, but not let's lose focus of who's the giver. Amen. Let's not look at the hand, but look at the face of the giver. Amen. So the holidays can be good for disruption. Sometimes we get a little careless with our spiritual disciplines. You know, it's just all too much fun or just stresses, running around, buying the gifts. I was a single man until I was 34, people. Come on. I know. I was buying presents on the 23rd. And if I could, I'd buy them on the 24th. You know, just in time, just to look good. But can we prepare a seat at the table for Jesus this Christmas? You know, some of us use the frozen approach to our diet during the holidays, and we just say, hey, just let it go, right? Just let it go. But we cannot let it go when it comes to our spiritual diet. We cannot let it go. Amen? So point number two, do not grow impatient. Do not grow impatient. All of us are waiting for something. You know, there's a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we're all waiting for God to answer something. And sometimes we can grow a little bit impatient. Look at what Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says. But when the fullness of the time had come. When the fullness of the time had come. Sometimes we get a little impatient. Come on, let it come now. I want it now, Lord. Give me this thing that I want. And we get ahead of God. But it says, at the right time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is in Galatians, but come on, this is the Christmas story. But it says that it was when the fullness of the time had come. Sometimes we grow impatient, just like children. Just this Thursday, we went shopping. By the way, everything just comes sooner, right? We used to go to Black Friday, now we start shopping on Thursday. I mean, we just leave the turkey and we rush to the store, you know. Guilty right here. Okay, we were at Target on Thursday night. And we did some of our Christmas shopping, and we left the kids at home. And man, as soon as we got home, Bella was just hounding us. You know, we're like, we're going to have to give her something. So we gave her something, you know, but she wanted it all. Let's just, we don't need to wait to Christmas. Let's just give us the presents now, right? And she starts throwing that fake fit. I said, you're a faker. You know. But the fullness of time hadn't come yet. The fullness of time hadn't come. That's not till the 24th and 25th, depending on your tradition. Okay, so, but some of us cannot wait to God for the answer. Look, it was 450 years from the prophecies of Malachi, the last prophet, right, until Jesus came. It seems like there was nothing happening. Is this Messiah coming? And that's what happens. Even though some of us are awaiting His return, we get a little impatient, you know, with God. Is He really going to come back? Is there really going to be a rapture? Is there really going to be a second coming? A thousand-year reign? All the things we read in Revelation and Daniel. You know, hey, He is coming. Amen. Do not get impatient. Do not be distracted. We need to understand, listen, that everything that God does has a third, fourth, fifth, and umpteenth order effect. Some of us want, like, oh God, if you just give me this thing, you fix it. No, no, no. But don't you know that what He does in your life is affecting many things? It's affecting many people. Right? John 5:17 says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Those 450 years, it's not like nothing was happening. Something was happening. God was working behind the scene. And sometimes we get impatient. Some of you are asking God for a promotion. God, if you just give me the promotion, everything would be solved. But let me tell you, He has to work on you. And He has to work on your job situation. He has to work on them. He has to prepare that for you. Sometimes if He gives you something too soon, you'll ruin it. Yeah. Come on, it's like when I was a child, I wanted to just touch the fire on the stove. And my mom was like, nope, nope, you don't know how to handle that just yet. But my mom was a little different. Eventually she said, all right, you keep wanting to touch it, go for it. You know? I wasn't ready for that. Some of us have asked for God for a spouse. But it's not just you He has to work on. He has to work on the other person. You know, I didn't get married until 34. My wife was 23. I think maybe God was trying to say, I need to work a lot on you and not so much on her. But, you know, I had to wait. So I'm praying and praying and praying, you know. And believe me, it wasn't easy, but I'm so glad I waited because I got my best woman, my woman. Amen. So let God work on you. He's working behind the scenes. He's always working. The Father's always working. He's doing something. Even if you don't see it, like that song says, even if I don't see it, you're working. Amen. He's a way maker. You know, babies come in 9 months. Right? You can kick and scream, and you can go off-roading, you can take special oils, but it's supposed to take 9 months. It's supposed to take 9 months. All right? 99.99% of the time, that's the way it's supposed to be. Of course, sometimes God can't accelerate things, like in our case, and the babies can come at 6 months, you know, 25 weeks. But when you get something too soon, let me tell you, challenges come with it. So you want to wait for God's timing. Don't get ahead of God's timing. Wait for your present till the 25th. Alright? Just wait for it. Unless we get in debt. Because we want things now. Whew, touching a lot of things right now. So be careful what you're asking for. Because when the fullness of time has come, you know, it's going to work. It's going to be in your favor. So keep your eye on the prize. Pray it in. But rest in God. Rest in God. Tell the person next to you, you need to rest in God. You know, keep your eye on the star. Be starry-eyed. Okay? And the last point, and this is something God specifically been talking to me about. Lasting escape is only in God. Lasting escape is only in God. Look at what it says in Psalm 55. We're going to talk about birds a little bit here. All right, this is going to be a lot of bird talk here. Which, by the way, today we met somebody who's here, came to Cochise County from England just for bird watching. He rolled into the McDermott's like a celebration. He thought Landmark was open. He just walked in and he's like, hey. So we're like, hey, dude, there's a lot of food. Just go ahead and have it. And he started talking with an English accent. But he just came here for birding. So check this out. Now that we talk about birds. So I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, that means like pause and just meditate on that. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So here's the why, what God's been speaking to me. All of us are going through difficulties. We're talking about how God presses us like oil, you know, or how it breaks us like a box, you know, so that the oil can flow out of us. God is doing something through the tempest, through the difficulties. But our tendency is to want to get out. It says, oh, David was like, man, I'm starting to stress. People want to kill me. It's been a rough life. If I had the wings of a dove, I would just fly away from my problems and just disappear. Come on. I could just move away from here. Or I could just hide. I could quit this situation. Go back in time. Any time but now. So we're looking to escape. It is like putting our heads in the sand and saying, out of sight and out of mind. You know, God has called us to be problem solvers, right? And let me tell you, guys especially, the way he wired us is to be problem solvers. That's why, ladies, don't get too mad at us when you're telling us a problem. Our first instinct is to just say, oh, this is what you need to do. You know, because we feel better when we solve problems. We go through scenarios in our head. Come on, man, say, yeah, we have a situation. We're like, oh, if I do this, roadblock. If I do this, roadblock. If I do this, okay. Problem solved. I feel good. Peace comes. Everything's great. But you know what God does? He gives us stuff that we're like, oh, I can't figure this one out. It's like because he wants you to rely on him. So he'll give you a situation. You're like, okay, scenario. You know, in the military, they call it, you know, course of action, right? Course of action. You know, you're going through all the fishbone and the rabbit trails and see if you get to the answer. No answer. And all of a sudden, we're bogged down with anxiety and stress. There's no answer to the situation, right? So then what we want to do at that point is we want to escape the problem. We want to just drown. We want to numb it with something. So what we do is we escape to different things. What do we escape to? We escape to entertainment, right? We escape to, you know, some people worse, to addictions, to alcohol, drugs, you know, the bad relationships. Just keep the fun going so I can't hear the noise, you know. It's not a good place to be. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our refuge. He is the strong tower. The Bible says that he's the strong that the righteous run to and they are saved. And this happens to me all the time. You know, I'm just tired. I'm worn out. And we had a very heavy year. And so, man, when we have the conference and the revival, man, I had energy. I was going. And then right after that, I hit the wall. And I was tired. I didn't want to leave my house. I just wanted to veg away. You know, most men, we come home from work. What do we want to do? We just plop the feet up and turn on the remote and just escape for a while from all our problems. But I found out it's like what it says in John chapter 4 when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. And he said to her, if you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you drink from the water that I will give you, it's going to be forever. So I'm jumping from escape to escape. Oh, you know, watch a movie, watch a soccer game, watch a football game. There's always a game, you know. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, the games came on Sunday or Saturday. Now you can have sports all through the week. They figured it out, Pastor. You know, they can just keep ESPN all day long. You know, it's bad, right? But I've noticed that it's not solving the real issue in my heart. Is that I have all these troubles and burdens about you guys, about the church, about where our family is going. We've talked about going to full-time ministry. We've talked about, you know, where we want to go with the vision of the house. And it's like a heaviness. We have a child that has all these visits to the doctor. You know, and like I said, it's been such a joy, but it is a burden. It's like a weight that's constantly on you. It's like always having like a 50-pound weight on your shoulders, having a baby like this. You know, it's not like the other ones were a little easier. This guy's just been, it's been amazing to see him. So thank you for your prayers. He's doing really well. He's growing, he's maturing. Yes. But I'll go from stress to stress to stress, and I feel like it's not quenching my real need. And then I'll go to God. And it's like, as soon as I enter his presence and I get into his word, he just washes over me. And I just feel His peace and His love. And all of a sudden, no matter what's going on in the world, we can sing that song, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Come on. No matter what storms come, we're going to be all right. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to run to Jesus, ultimately. You can enjoy those things. I'm going to tell you not that you cannot enjoy those things. Watch the movies, watch the games, go shopping, do whatever you like to do. But your ultimate escape, I'm telling you, that stuff's only going to last you for a little bit. You know, that purse that you get, Pastor, is going to be amazing for the first month. And after a while, it's just going to be another purse. It's going to go in the closet, right? I'm not trying to ruin somebody's Christmas here, you know. But what has lasting value is running to Jesus. Come on. Going in His presence, talking to Him. He wired you. He knows how you're made. He knows what solves your issues. So stop running to other things other than Jesus. Lasting escape is only in God. So look at Psalm 11:1, talking about birds. "In the Lord I will put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" I'm not going to flee just anywhere. I'm going to flee to God's mountain. I'm going to go to God's mountain to get my rest. No matter what the situation is going to be all right. No matter what failures, no matter what I've done, what my past was, I know that when I go to Him, I receive mercy. There's a washing. Come on. Get washed in God's love. He wants you to turn to Him. So don't drink the water of escapism, but drink the water of Jesus' peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Matthew 11:20-29. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Doesn't matter what you've been carrying on. You know, and like I was telling some people the other day, there's two types of brokenness. There's a brokenness that comes with like a tragedy strikes. Boom, a death. You know, you lose your job. And it's a one-time thing. And it's just like, it just hits you so hard. It breaks you. But there's a different kind of breaking that occurs when a mild or a middle-sized weight falls upon your shoulder. You know, He didn't die. But it was still a burden that we had to carry. You know, and there's a natural breaking that occurs over time. That burden. You know, Pastor, I remember Pastor stepped out of pastorship, you know, 2.5 years ago. And it was like a weight just kind of like lifted, because he had been carrying Shiloh on his shoulders with prayer and fasting and seeking God. And he said, "Finally, you know, I can pass on the baton." Yeah. He still has a burden, but it's not the same burden, right, Pastor? I hope it isn't. Just for me. Just pray for me, all right? You know, but it's a burden that's always on you. And there's a natural breaking that occurs. There's a squeezing of the olives. There's a pressing that causes for the anointing to come. Because God, remember, is preparing you for greater things. He who is faithful with the little things will be given more to manage. So he'll give you an appropriately sized burden that will just slowly break you. You know, because, ladies, He's going to give you greater things. But those things that come later, because the brokenness is built into your life, the anointing is in your life, all of a sudden it doesn't feel as heavy. You can carry it. What makes other people crumble can cause a man of God, a woman of God, to just bring it on. Come on. This is what life's about. Come on, let's go win some souls. I don't care where it takes. Amen? I think we're reading Colossians 1 this morning, and Paul said, "I strenuously work to present everyone fully mature." I strenuously work. It is work. And the Old Testament, they used to carry the tabernacle all over the desert, you know, for 40 years. They had to pick it up, you know, pack it up. And one time I actually calculated how much, it was in the tons of gold, bronze, fabrics, all, you know, all the instruments had to be carried, you know, by the priests. This is the way it is. But you know what? They got used to it. Yeah. This is what we do. Yeah. This is how we serve God. Yeah. You know, it didn't break them. Why? Because they were built for it. So God is building into you an eternal weight of glory on your life. Come on. So in these holidays, put Christ in Christmas. Even in your anxiety, seek Him and rest in Him. Don't be a fleeing dove just anywhere. Don't just flee. Flee to the mountain. Last bird verse I'm going to share with you. Psalm 84:3. "Even the sparrow finds a home, And the swallow builds her nest and raises her young. Where? At a place near your altar. O Lord, heaven's armies, my King and my God. Where is it that we find our rest? At a place near your altar. That's where we will find rest. I want everyone to stand up this morning as we close. This is my gift to you, getting out a little bit earlier than usual. I hope you've been blessed. Amen. So no matter what you're going through, keep your eye on the prize. Be starry-eyed, right? Don't get distracted. They're all the hoopla. The devil will bring all kinds of commercials your way. You know, you're not going to be happy unless you get that Lexus with the big bow on top, you know. Who gives someone else a Lexus for Christmas? Come on. Honey, if you could. Yeah. If you want to bless me, we'll go into debt. That's all right. No. We don't want that anxiety in our lives. No. Don't get distracted. Don't get careless. Amen. And find your escape in God ultimately. You know, when the other stuff is going to satisfy you for a little bit, ultimately, He wants to be your inheritance. David would say, you are my cup. You are my inheritance and my reward. You are my cup. You are my inheritance and my reward. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. So no matter what you're going through this morning, He's here to save you. And everybody close your eyes, because there might be somebody here, you know what? You need to run to your Savior. You've not made Jesus your Savior yet. You've been trying to do things on your own. But I know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning that you need to turn your life over to Him. So I'm trusting He has already done the work of convicting, like the Word says, you know, in your heart. And you know that you need Him as your Savior. But you need to respond. So in a little bit, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or if you have been walking away from Him, or you've been doing things your own way, this is your day to just make amends. Isaiah chapter 1 says, you know, come, let's reason together. Doesn't matter how dark the sins are in your heart, I can make everything white as snow. He didn't come for the righteous, He came for the unrighteous. He came for a troubled people. He came for a stressed out people. He came for people that have been escaping to other things, and He has never satisfied them. Because the Bible says that eternity is written in the hearts of men. He has made you to know Him. He has made you for heaven. He has not appointed you unto wrath. He wants you to be in peace and in rest, and in Him as your source. So if this is you, if you're ready to turn over your life to Him, I'm going to ask you to be bold and you raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. I would like to pray with you. I see a hand. Is there anyone else in the room that needs to, you know, return to Jesus or come to Jesus? Come on. Is there anyone? Bring your heart to Jesus as your gift.